The book of Matthew, chapter 18. I'd like to read verses 23 through 35. The Bible says in Matthew, chapter 18, verse number 23, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt." Now, the other night we were speaking of somebody's watching you. Look at the next verse. "So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were not just sorry, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." In the New Testament, you'll find two phrases, kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. When you read that phrase, kingdom of God, it is in representation to one of the mysteries that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul spoke of it in the book of Colossians, chapter number 1, verse 26 and 27, when he spoke of Christ in you, the hope of glory, the mystery of the divine indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in the life of the believer. When you see that little phrase, kingdom of God, that's what it's in representation of. You'll find that mentioned in Luke 17, 21, and also John 3, verse 5, when the Lord spoke to Nicodemus and said unto him, "Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." But tonight in this scripture, I'm very interested in a phrase. It only appears in the Gospel of Matthew. It appears 32 times in the Gospel of Matthew, and it is the phrase, kingdom of heaven. In this phrase, kingdom of heaven, Jesus told a mystery while he was here. And the mystery that Jesus spoke of while he was here was the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, which represents a period of time from the ascension of Christ till the rapture of the church. He told 12 parables that connect with this period of time called the kingdom of heaven. You'll find these parables mentioned in Matthew 13, Matthew 18, Matthew 20, Matthew 22, and also Matthew 25. When we come to this one right here, this is the eighth one that is mentioned, the kingdom of heaven parable. In representation, like I said, of a period of time between the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and when he will return for his bride there one day after a while. We're looking for it. The Bible said over in Acts chapter 1:10 that two men stood by in white apparel there with the disciples. Could have been Moses and Elijah. And they said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." In these parables of the kingdom of heaven, what the Lord Jesus shows us in the scripture is he shows us a period of time, which I believe is a period of time of choice. You have a choice to make right now. And I say, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I can only speak for this house right here tonight, but I choose the Lord, preacher. I choose the Lord. But this day and time which we live is a period of time of choice. And I want to say in these kingdom of heaven parables, the Lord shows us the evil and the good. One of these kingdom of heaven parables is the five wise
and the five foolish virgins. Another one of these parables is the parable of the wheat and the tares. And you can go through another parable. It's the parable of the net with the good fish and the bad fish. At the end of these parables, you see a time of separation, because there is coming a day of separation. The book of Luke 17, verse 34 says, and over also in, I believe it's Matthew 24, 40, there'll be two in the field, one will be taken and the other left. There'll be two grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. There'll be two in one bed, one will be taken and the other left. There is coming a day of separation. The Lord wants us to show us a few things in this parable which we read of tonight. The parable of the unmerciful servant. There's a couple things I want to bring to your attention about this parable. Be as brief as God will let me be. But number one, I want to say that the certain king that is mentioned here is the Lord God Almighty. And I want to look at first this overwhelming debt that was owed by this servant. You'll read up there in the verse number 24, the Bible says, which owed him 10,000 talents. So to begin with, I want to look at the overwhelming debt of the servant that was brought and how he brought this overwhelming debt. You say, now preacher, why do you refer to it as that? Well, I try to do some research to try to find out what kind of money we would be talking about. What kind of debt would we be talking about right here? Preacher Darren, you might know more to tell me about this. And if y'all do, I'd like for you to speak with me on this. But this is what I found. I found that a talent could be any equivalent to about a little over $1,600 for just a talent. We're speaking about 10,000 talents right here. A talent of gold, just one talent of gold I found, was over $26,000 for just one talent. Now, if a talent that is speaking of here is over $1,600 for one talent, 10,000 talents would put that amount close to $2 million. That is an overwhelming debt, isn't it? That is an overwhelming debt that this individual had. But the Bible says in Matthew 18, verse 32, that the Lord reminded this servant that he forgave all that debt. Why? Because in Matthew 18, 32, the Lord said, you desired me to do that. Now let me say this. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 18, 15, that Moses one day made a proclamation to say that the Lord would raise up a prophet like unto me. As you come on into the New Testament, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 3, 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh and justified in the spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans 8, verse number 3, and what the law could not do in that it was weak, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemns sin in the flesh. Jesus became a man. Why? Because by the sin of Adam, all would die. The Bible says in Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death. And the Lord Jesus knew that. And let me say this. I hear people say, a search was made in heaven for one that was worthy enough to go. I can't find that in there, brother. The Bible said before the foundation of the world, he was as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God didn't go looking for somebody. God knew exactly who it would be. It would be God the Son that would have to become a man. Just as God came walking there in the cool of the day and took those animals and killed those animals and clothed Adam and Eve, he knew that one day he would have to clothe himself in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. But he knew that one day he would condemn sin in the flesh. He knew that death was on every man's trail. By the first Adam, all were made sinners. But thank God for that last Adam. Thank God for that man that said, Father, I know what has to be done. And he clothed himself in flesh. Hebrews chapter 2, preachers, one of my favorite chapters in the book of Hebrews. It says it behooved him that he might be made likened to his brethren. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hey, I'm glad I choose the Lord because I know He cares. I know He knows what I'm going through. I know He knows what I'm facing. At the tomb of Lazarus, tears ran down his face. And when tears run down my face, I know there's a God that knows what I'm going through. Hey, as he moaned and groaned and his heart broke there in Gethsemane and there at Lazarus' tomb, I'm telling you, he knows what I'm going through. He knows what you're going through, because the Bible said it behooved him that he might be made like unto his brethren. That's how your sin debt got paid. Because man had to pay for sin. The wages of sin is death. Who had sinned? Man had sinned. Adam and Eve had partook of that fruit. And now they were driven from the garden. Now Adam would earn his living by the sweat of his brow. Now Eve would go through childbearing. Now they would suffer all these things. And one day they would have to die. But Jesus said, I'll come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I appreciate him becoming a man, don't you? Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2, verse number 9, it said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I'm glad God the Father gave him grace, aren't you? That he, by the grace of God, hey, there's grace for the God-man. And thank God there's grace for me tonight. And tonight, sitting upon the throne, it's a God that knows what I'm going through. The Bible tells me in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I believe it is, it says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That means something to me right there, preacher. The man Christ Jesus, because there was at one time that he wasn't a man. He's always been God, but there was a time he wasn't a man. But the Bible said, Moses said, God will raise up a prophet like unto thee on the day of Pentecost. After the day of Pentecost, old Peter's a preaching in Acts chapter 3, around verse number 22. He said that one that Moses spoke of, he said he's already been here, and he's already died, and he's already got up, and he's already ascended into the heavens. And now we can be saved by the marvelous grace of God. I tell you, when I think of my sin debt, it was overwhelming. But tonight it's gone. Who got rid of it? The man Christ Jesus. Who? Oh, how can I approach and say, Lord, I bring this for my debt. I had nothing to bring. Only to Christ I'll cling. And say, because of him, I'll be there because of him. My debt is paid because of him. He took the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross to say, paid in full. Hallelujah. An overwhelming debt. I believe it's very important that I bring that up, because this unmerciful servant that this parable speaks of, by the time we get to the end of this parable, it is as if he has forgotten the overwhelming debt that he once had in his life. Let me say this, you and I ain't always been saved, but thank God I'm saved now, preacher, and I'm saved forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am sealed unto the day of redemption. Hey, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I heard Preacher Craig Edwards say one night, he said, I'm more sure of that. I know that more than I do anything else. He said, I'm more sure of going to heaven than I am anything else. I'm glad I'm sure of it tonight. It's not a maybe so. It's not I hope so or I guess so. I'm telling you, I've got an absolute certainty in my soul that Christ Jesus is my Lord. I'm His child. And one day after a while, I'm going to meet him in the air, and so shall I ever be with the Lord. Oh, don't get over being saved. Don't get over going back and reminiscing over that overwhelming debt. Oh, I like what preacher, I like what Preacher Pierce just said tonight. Do you remember that night you were sitting there, or that day you were sitting there in that pew and conviction fell upon you? Preacher, I'm with you. Without conviction, there is no conversion. I'll tell you, nobody will show you Jesus like the Holy Ghost of God will. When I tell you, I had a mom who told me about Jesus, Matthew, but I'd never seen Jesus like I saw him the night the Holy Ghost showed me. I've never seen Calvary like I saw it that night. Just a six-year-old boy, March 23rd, 1983. I had never seen Calvary like that. Never seen the Lord like that. I had never seen myself like that. But God showed it to me, and I don't want to ever get over that. Don't want to ever get over that. I'm telling you, you remember when he came to you. Do you remember when he came to where you were? And oh, I tell you, you felt the weight, didn't you? Oh, you felt the overwhelming debt. Oh, you just felt so heavy. Oh, the devil said, God don't want nothing like you. Oh, the devil said, you've done too much. Oh, the devil said, you've got a bill too big to pay. God can never do anything with that. But David, aren't you glad you called out on Jesus? Ain't you glad you brought it to the Lord? Ain't you glad that you believed what that old preacher man was telling you? And you came to the Lord and said, God, it is overwhelming, but there's nothing too big for our God. Hallelujah. Don't get over being saved, friend. Don't get over having your name written in the Lamb's book. Don't ever get over the thrill of singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, let it still stir you when you hear somebody saying, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath its flow and lose all their guilty stains. Don't ever get over singing, I heard an old, old story about a Savior that came from glory. Hey, don't ever get over singing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The next time somebody tells you they can't get saved because the debt is too great, they can't get saved because the overwhelming debt, you let them know, hallelujah, that God can do something with that. And he already has, hallelujah. All you have to do is claim the finished work of Calvary. Oh, don't get over being saved. This man in this parable had forgotten about the overwhelming debt that he had, that he no longer had. And I want to say, once that debt is gone, it's never to be brought up again. The Bible says in Psalms 103, verse number 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. In Micah 7, verse 19, Micah said, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Hallelujah. They're gone. They're gone. When the devil goes to God and says, what about that man that he was? God will say, he's gone. That man is gone. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm alive tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look at this man's conduct this evening. I want to look at his conduct. He had an overwhelming debt. But I want to look at his conduct after he left the communion with the Lord right here. And I want to look to see how he did the people around him. You know, we can act one way in the house of God and be a totally different person out in the world. No greater compliment, no greater testimony can you have with your brothers and sisters in Christ. I heard a preacher one time. He said, I've met men of God that are one thing on the platform, but they're another thing out in the other places. No greater compliment could we have than he's the same. She's the same every time you see her. Oh, he's the same. Oh, that loving Jesus that you see in the church house. Oh, you'll see it on the job. You'll see it out there in the workplace. You'll see it down there in the grocery store. I'll tell you, Brother Brian, somebody that's never got over that overwhelming debt, that's never got over what Jesus has done, you won't talk with them long before they'll have to bring it up. Because it's as Jeremiah said, Jeremiah tried to stop talking about it one day. He said, Lord, he said, you've deceived me. He said, I'll not make mention anymore. He said, people are making fun of me and they're watching me to quit. They got their eye on me just waiting for me to shut up. And he sat down, and I'd be about the time he got sit down, he had to stand back up. He said, Lord, I'm sorry. I can't do it. There ain't no way. Do you know why? Because he was still reminded of who God is and what God has done. Hallelujah. Oh, you won't talk with them long, for they'll have to say, can we talk about Jesus? I asked a church not long ago, I said, why is it we talk about weather so much? I'm as bad as anybody, preacher. Why is it? I sat down in the barber stool out there this afternoon. I sat down there in that barber chair, and the first thing I started talking about was, why is that? But I tell you, I got something to talk about tonight. I got Jesus to talk about. I've got to talk about what the Lord has done and what he's blessed me with. I'm talking more than just the natural things. You tell people when you talk to them about the Lord, say, yes, I know about all the natural things, but if you could just see the unseen things that God has done for me, they're much greater. I tell you, when you stand, ain't nothing wrong with standing thanking God for your house. Hey, I thank God for the place that I live. But I got more to thank him for than that. Hallelujah. I've got a peace that passeth all understanding. I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. I got my name written in the Lamb's book. Hallelujah. The blood is applied to my soul. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's what the Lord wants us talking on. That's what the Lord wants us meditating on. The Bible says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Hallelujah. This individual in this scripture became a different individual when he left the presence of the king. When he left the presence of the king, I want you to notice that a servant only owed him 100 pence. Not near what he owed. Not near what he was facing earlier. Sometimes we make too big of a deal over little bitty things. Do you know that? And then we wonder, where's my joy? Where's my testimony? Why don't I even feel like singing in the choir anymore? Why did I step down from that class? Why don't I even want to go to Sunday school anymore? Why is it that I just barely get there for preaching on Sunday morning anymore? I tell you, something's happened. You're making big deals over little stuff. But it's them little foxes that spoil the grapes. It's them little things, I tell you, that hurt us more than we think they do. This man was making a big deal over little things. I tell you, they're some of the most petty things. You could go around and ask certain churches. They've been the most petty little things has gotten churches and tore things all to pieces. You know what that shows me? That shows me a group of people that's forgot the overwhelming debt. They forgot what the Lord has done. Hey, can I say it like this? You and I didn't do this tonight. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. Hallelujah. You and I hadn't done one thing this evening. We're here because of Jesus. We're saved because of Jesus. We sang out that old red book, back book tonight because of Jesus. We rejoiced and raised our hands because of Jesus. I prayed in an old-fashioned altar tonight because of Jesus. I loved my brother's neck tonight because of Jesus. Hallelujah. You and I have done nothing this evening. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Lord, I love you tonight. Ooh, don't you love him tonight? Oh, Lord, I love you. Can I tell you something this evening? The Bible tells me over in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 37 and 39 and 40,
about the greatest commandments. Oh, you'll show how much you love God by how you love your brethren. The Bible said we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. The Bible said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. If I ask you tonight, do you love the God? Do you love the God of heaven? Do you love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind? You'd say, yay, preacher, I love God tonight. Yay, preacher, I love his word. Yay, preacher, I love him with all my heart. Oh, preacher, he's the best thing ever happened to me. You'll be able to evaluate your love for God by your love for the brethren. I'm not just talking about those that are good to you. I'm talking about those that despitefully use you. I'm talking about those that cast your name out as evil. Isn't it something that we have such a great example to look at with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? When they were a mocking him, when they were a spitting on him, when he said, I gave my cheeks to them that plucked the hairs off my beard, when he said, I gave my back to the smiters, when they lied on him, when they desired Barabbas more than they did him, oh, he just loved on them. He spake not a word, and the words that he did speak was words of love. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm telling you, you'll be able to evaluate your love for God, how you love the brethren. Do you love the brethren tonight? The Bible said, if you bring your gift and there know that your brother have an ought against you, leave your gift, get yourself up and go to your brother, be reconciled unto him, then come offer your gift. The Bible in 2 Peter, I believe it's around chapter 1, around verses 7, 8, 9, 10, right in there, you can read of the things that Peter says we need to add to our faith. He says, if these things be in you and abound, that they shall make you neither barren nor unfruitful. There's seven things, preacher. What about that number? The completeness of God. Seven things that are mentioned right there in that chapter that Peter speaks of. You know the last thing he mentions? You know the seventh thing that's mentioned? Love. I told you tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, I can speak with great swelling words. I can have all wisdom. I can understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And I can have not charity, and it'll profit me nothing. I can have not charity, and I'll be as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I can give my body to be burned and have not charity. It won't profit me, and it won't profit anybody else. I'm telling you, charity never faileth. And I'm talking about that love of God. I didn't know how to love my wife till I knew the Lord. I didn't know how to love them boys of mine till I knew the Lord. Don't know how to love my fellow man until I know the Lord. You say, preacher, I've got a problem loving my brethren. You need to come on, love on Jesus a while. Hey, you need to come focus on him a while. You need to come say, oh Lord, I just want to get along with you a little while. I guarantee you, in the times you've not loved your brethren the way you ought to, you've not loved on Jesus how you ought to. You've not been in those secret places like you ought to. You take time away from them laurel thickets, and you'll begin to see it around your brethren. You'll begin to see it in your home. Husband, you won't love your wife like God loves the church. Wife, you won't love your husband as you do unto the Lord. Children, you won't love them parents like you ought to. But when you spend time alone with God and you get alone in that secret place with him and you adore him, that's what prayer needs to be. It needs to begin with an adoration of God. It needs to begin loving on God. It needs to begin fawning on God. It needs to begin kissing on the feet of Almighty God. Hallelujah. And when you get done with a communion time like that, I'm telling you, your brethren will look lovely to you. Oh, they will. Oh, they will. I'm interested in this man's conduct tonight. I'm interested in his conduct. When we say that we are Christians, we are saying that we are Christ-like. Can I tell you about Christ? He delights in mercy. He delights in it. He delights in it. I want to read you a verse quickly. I don't have it marked, but I'm going to turn quickly. If you want to see this verse, Psalms 89, there is a verse on my heart that I want to read to you this evening from Psalms 89.
Verse 14. Look right here. Psalms 89, verse 14. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Oh, he will be a God of judgment. Judgment is sure. Judgment is coming. Oh, judgment was coming in the days of Noah. Judgment was coming. But before judgment, mercy said, I'll go out ahead. I'll go out ahead. I sure am glad the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Hallelujah. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne, O God. But mercy, mercy and truth went out and said, you don't have to suffer that judgment. It's mercy for you tonight. It's mercy tonight. The Lord delights in mercy. Do you delight in mercy? Can I say it didn't bother the king to forgive that man all his debt? Not some of it, not part of it. But I love that word all, don't you? It was no bother to him. He didn't go home and regret what he'd done. Oh, hallelujah, preacher. Darren, I think about me. And I think about what God got when he got me. But God's not that I'm saved to do a favor. For, the Lord's done a favor for me. But the Lord's never regretted what he's done for me. The Lord's never regretted. Oh, you might be sitting here tonight. You might be here this evening. And you might say, oh, preacher, if you could just know where he got me. Oh, God knows what you're like that night. God knows what you're going through that day. God knows how far you had went. But he don't regret what he done for you tonight. He delights in it tonight. He looks at you as a trophy of grace. He looks at you and smiles. And says, oh, I remember. That old sin, but thank God tonight he delights in what he's done for you. And that old man is gone. He's gone. He's washed him away. And now when he views us as a child of the king. When he sees me, he don't see me as I am, but he sees the blood that was shed for me at a place called Calvary. He delights in mercy. I like what David said in Psalms 57:10. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3:22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. This individual had forgotten about that overwhelming debt, and now his conduct toward his brethren was a conduct not of love. Not of love. But he was showing them that lack of mercy. He didn't want to hear about them wanting to pay their debt later. Just a small thing. Oh, and the Lord was displeased in that. I would wonder, would the Lord look over many of our churches tonight and shake his head at us and say, why aren't you the person out there that you are in here? Why don't you love out there like you talk about love in here? Are you with me? Talk tonight is cheap. Somebody is watching you. My dad told me a long time ago, he said, you won't have to be around a man long to know what kind of a man he is. You might think you have a lot of people snowed, but somebody has watched you close enough. And I would wonder tonight, are they not here? Are they out of church? Are they using that excuse of not being in the house of God because of someone that is in the house of God on a regular basis? Is my life drawing people to this place? Or is my life pushing them farther? Did you love somebody today?
When that person pulled out in front of you, did you love them today? When that individual got frustrated and took it out on you when it wasn't even your fault, did you show them love today? You know what the Bible speaks about us having mercy? Solomon said in Proverbs 11:17, he said, "The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh." In Luke 6:36, Jesus said, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful."